Hello, everybody. Welcome to Health Chatter. Today's show is on friends and health. In other words, what do friends do for our health? And we have an illustrious group of discussants here with us. It's called Clarence and also Matthew. So it's just the three guys are going to talk about friends, friendships, and that whole thing. So welcome to everybody. We have a great crew, as always. Maddie Levine-Wolf, Aaron Collins, Deandra Howard, Matthew, who's on the show, and Sheridan Nygaard, second to none. They provide wonderful, wonderful expertise. And frankly, Clarence and I truly believe that they are friends and also colleagues. Great people. Clarence Jones is my co-host on this show. Had a lot of fun doing it, and we continue to try to be creative and hopefully informative for you, the listening audience. Human Partnership is our sponsor for these shows. Great community health organization. Do wonderful things. I mean, I'm always impressed when Clarence tells me about, oh, geez, we did this today or we did this last week, you know, in the community. And it's really, really good. Check them out at humanpartnershipalliance.org. And you could check us out at healthchatterpodcast.com. All our shows are on there. You can read about them. You can actually read the transcriptions of the shows if you prefer that method. But check us out. All right. So it's really interesting. All right, I'll be blunt. I 2.5 weeks ago, I lost a very, very dear friend who I had known for 45 years. And in many ways, I want to dedicate this show to him, to John. Wonderful, wonderful man. And, you know, in the latter years, John was suffering from Parkinson's disease. And finally, it took him, you know, the complications from it. And I'll be frank with everybody. When I heard that John had passed, I sat in a chair in my home and just cried my guts out. I mean, and it was just, it really hits home. And, you know, you think that as you get older, you can recognize this and deal with it. Frankly, it doesn't get any easier when you lose good people, good friends. But John and I always connected with one another in unique ways, and always kept up with one another. He always remembered my birthday. I mean, he would call on my birthday. I always knew that he would call. So anyway, I hope he rests in peace. But I really underscored what came to mind for me is, and I underscored is how special it is to have good friends. And what they do for our health in this case. So, all right, Clarence.
Well, you know, Sam, when you first brought up this topic about friends and health, you know, I went and I approached one of my friends.
So did I.
Somebody that I had been in conversations with a lot of around prostate cancer, mm-hmm. those kinds of things, and unfortunately, he wasn't able to make it this time. But I think that part of why it's important to talk about this particular topic is that a good friend will tell you, or a good friend will be concerned about your health. You know, I have friends that tell me, hey, you're eating too much candy, or, you know, you're getting kind of bigger. You know, I mean, those kinds of things where, you know, it seems like, it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal because they're caring about you. And I think that that's what you look for in a friend, somebody that will tell you what they're seeing. Now, they may or may not be correct in what they're saying. I mean, and but I'm saying that they're not saying it out of vindictiveness or out of anything other than the fact that they care and they're looking for that. So I think this whole idea about friends and your health, it's very, very important because as you get older, there are things that you don't see. I mean, let me give you an example of what I'm saying is that we did a barbershop campaign where we started to talking to barbers about talking to their clients about their health. Well, a barber, in many cases, can be a friend, somebody that you can go and you can confide in. But a barber also can tell you if they see a little spot or cancerous mole, you know, so somebody else may not be that close to you, but if they are aware of that and they can tell you that, then maybe you can go get that checked out. So I think that this whole idea about friendship and health is important. It looks just look different for a lot of different ways.
It's really interesting too. I'm sure both you and Matthew have gone through this. Some friends you keep in contact with a lot. Okay. Some friends, I have a friend out in Los Angeles who I don't talk to that often, but when we talk, it's just like you pick up where you left off. It doesn't, I mean, you just still care about each other. And I realize that caring for one another is central for health. It really is. It really, really helps you. Now, the other thing that I was thinking about is like I'm going through some personal stuff, and inevitably, people—it's almost on a daily basis. You included Clarence as an illustration. All of a sudden, I'll get a call from Clarence, Stan, how you doing? It doesn't. It's not a real deep question. It's just a checkup. A check up and a check in, and I know, and I'll get Clarence. I'll use you as an illustration. If all hell were breaking loose, you would drop everything. Stan, let's get together. Do you know what I mean? So that there is something to that is very meaningful and helpful as far as one's health is concerned.
I
Matthew,
think, you
what?
know,
Go ahead.
well,
Go ahead,
let me
Clarence.
real quick, but before you have to get in. I think as you would talk a little bit right before you started talking, I thought about friends and mental health. You know, that you know, you just what you just talked about was the mental health aspect of friendship, right? But I also thought there is a another side of friendship where you know, sometimes you have friends that may not be as helpful as you need for your health. And you need to be able to recognize that. I mean, you know, people can be cool. You can be cool with a person, or you can be you know, friendly with a person. But if a person is not good for your health, or they bring in additional stressors, or they bring in additional drama, you know what I mean? You have to be able to recognize the level of friendship that you have with people and to be able to regulate that. So that's just my quick thought. Matthew, I don't know what you're going to say, but you know, I don't, I just threw it out there.
Yeah, so to jump in here, I think friends are incredibly important. I think about every major milestone of my life, every accomplishment I've had, every hardship I've went through. I've been surrounded by friends. And I think that really speaks to like community, right? Like we build our communities and our circles of friends. And I think about I have realms of friends. Like Stan, you mentioned, I have friends that maybe I don't talk to every day, but we pick up right where we left off. I have family friends that are more like cousins or siblings. And then you have friends of the moment that are, friends from a previous employer that you survived maybe the terrible boss with, and maybe you don't talk as much anymore, but you work through that together. And each of those are valuable in their own way. And I'm reminded of something my grandmother told me early on, you know, some of that grandmother sayings, but it was, you are who you run with. And I think about that in friends. And like with most things, you know, when you surround yourself by people that are motivating you and pushing you forward and prioritize mental health and prioritize community, you're going to get the benefits of all of those great things. And so that's where I think the benefits of health come in. But Clarence, kind of as you mentioned, so some of the opposite can also happen as well. If you surround yourself by people who are prioritizing unhealthy habits or things that, you know, maybe are misaligned with your values, oftentimes we kind of fall victim of that mentality. And so I think friendships have changed with the age of social media as well. I think what it means to be a friend has changed and how we interact with friends has changed. And even just hearing both of you talk about how your friend interactions and just picking up and calling on the phone, I can already start to see some of those differences. Like for me, I might not talk to that person or might not call them up on the phone, but I'm liking every Instagram post they post and we're messaging when they did something cool. So, you know, it's all how we find and stay connected.
And you know, there are things that you realize personally, that friends bring to you for your health. So, you know, like I have friends that, you know, are friends, but I'm not going to necessarily confide in them on some health related issue just because they don't connect in that way. Okay. On the other hand, there are friends that do connect. All right. Let me give you a for instance. So this last Friday, a very, very dear friend of mine, actually who I invited to be on the show and he couldn't be on, but last Friday, he calls me. He says, "Stan, what are you doing tomorrow?" Which was Saturday. He said, "I have an extra ticket to go to the Gopher game." By the way, the Gophers won 66-0, which was crazy. But anyway, and I realized, wow, it was just like this spontaneity. And you know, we went to the game together. The spontaneity can also be very, very helpful. And friends are aware of that more, at least that's what I have found. They're more engaged in spontaneity, and spontaneity can be very healthy. Next thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, the tragic event that happened right in my neighborhood, this, you know, a couple of weeks ago now, Annunciation, where we had this unfortunate killing of two children, and over 20 people were injured. And angst. We have, I would describe it as neighborhood angst right now. And you can really, really tell how people come together. And it doesn't necessarily have to be who you have defined as a friend, but it could also be neighbors. It could be colleagues. It can be merely acquaintances. But there are certain events that can happen that bring you closer together and help you with your health.
Yeah, I was going to say that, Sam. Thank you for bringing that up, because you know you're taking a lot of my points right now, but that's
Go
okay,
for
because
it.
that's
But
we're
you bring
friends.
it,
We're
always
friends.
bring a
We're
different
friends. Yeah,
angle.
yeah, 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 yeah. But no, I think one of the things for me is that a lot of times, you know, when I was growing up, everybody was a friend, right? I mean, you know, everybody was a friend. Yeah, you know, I mean, that was what you look for. You look for friends. As I've grown older, though, just as you just said, I look for allies. I look for associates. I look for colleagues. I mean, I got all kind of levels of ways in which I engage people. And again, all of that's healthy for me because I know I have an idea about what I can expect from them, or I have an idea about, you know, how we're going to work together. And I think that having a clear idea about how do you define a friend and these other people really help to keep you healthier. I mean, because I've had a
Yes.
lot of colleagues that have disappointed me. You know, that would have been different if I thought they were my friends. I'm like, wait a minute. You know, and a lot of times those disappointments had nothing to do with them as much as it had to do with the circumstances in which they were there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have to be careful because you have this expectation. Well, whatever I do, you know, you're going to be along there with me. But that's not life, man. You know, that's not life at all.
And I'm going to have you react to this, Clarence. When we first met, I would define, our relationship as we were professional colleagues. I remember it well when we first met.
Yeah, I do.
And we worked together on community oriented health initiatives in a collegial, professional manner. And so the question I have, it's like, okay, I certainly believe our collegial relationship has morphed into a friendship. And
You don't say that.
you know what I mean? It's like, it's a different level of caring health-wise for one
Oh,
another.
yeah. I want to say this. I mean, you talk about our relationship. I always think about our relationship as well. I met you at a Blue Cross Blue Shield event.
I remember it
I
well.
remember sitting there talking to
Right
you,
next to
and
you.
it was so interesting to me because you were so transparent. You know, it's like, you know, and you and sometimes when you meet people for the first time, you don't get transparency. You know, you kind of get like, well, this is my position, this is my title, those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But you were very open about what you were about, and then what you were looking to me to do. You know, and so that made our collegial whatever that thing you said. It made it so much easier for me because I didn't have to guess about you. And I think that that's one of the things about me when I talk about my friends. My friends don't love me if I got to guess about them. You know, if there's something that is amiss, you know, my friends will tell me. I have a and I think you know him too, Stan. I have a friend named Sam. And Sam has no
We've had him on the
problems.
show. We've had him on the
Yeah.
show.
Sam has no problems telling me what he thinks. And I love that because I don't have to guess about him. You know what I mean? And I think that that's really, as a human being, that's one of the things that I seek for, is that kind of transparency. And so you and I have always had that from the beginning. And that's one of the things for me that shows about friendship. And I also know that you care about me because you'll look out for me. You know, so that's that health component as well.
It's interesting, Clarence, I know you had, a health issue that you were dealing with, and I don't know if you recall, but I said, Clarence, put me on your speed dial. If something comes up, I'll frankly, I'll be pissed off if you don't contact me if you need help. Come on, what the hell is this all about? If you, so it's so the other thing is kind of the hug that you get from friends. There are times where you feel as though your friends are wrapping their arms around you for whatever reason. And there are other times they don't need to put their arms around you. It's just their friends. Okay. But there's no qualms about it. For really good friends. Now, let me talk about the loss of friends. Obviously, I mentioned, on the front end of this show, losing a friend through, somebody passing away. But what about friends that haven't passed away, but you decide they aren't your friend anymore? Why is that? Is it because they aren't helping your health? Or
I
are they
think, well, let me let
creating stress or what?
yeah, I think that as you start getting older, and I think I mentioned this a long time ago, but When I was younger, I had a grandmother, and my grandmother would say stuff. I said, "Oh, grandma, don't say that." You know, she would talk to people, and she'd be saying stuff. I'm saying like, "Grandma, don't say that. Don't. That's not nice." And then as I've gotten older, like my grandmother, I mean, you learn things, and like, you don't put up with stuff so much. And I think that in this life, when you start talking about your health and your friend's health, there's sometimes where you have to disconnect. Because as you grow older and you start to see how people really are, I mean, when you're young and you're kind of skating around, you kind of miss a lot of signs. But when you start getting old and you start really peeping people out, and you start saying that like, oh, this is a very, very narcissistic person. This is a very selfish person. This is a person that's very drama driven. Then you want to start saying, look, for my health, I need to disconnect. But one of the things for me in terms of this whole topic is that I never discard people. I mean, unless you really, really did something. But for the most part, what I try to do is I just say, well, right now our interests are not aligned with each other. That for me is the best way to say, like, what, we're not working together. But I do think that people change, we change, and you have to keep checking in.
That's a
You have to
really
keep
good
checking
point.
in. You can't keep assuming that just because, we've been doing it this way for so long, that we can do it. I mean, we just had that conversation today, where we've been together for a long time, and but you got to check in and say like, hey, how is it working for you? And if it's not working for you, or it's not working for me, then there has to be an adjustment made, because it's not good for us to keep pretending like, we're okay when we're not. You know what I mean? So that's what, but that's why I think having a friend that will tell you the truth, like, man, you got on my nerves. Okay, now that might not be comfortable at that time, but that's what you want, because there's some things about us that we don't see about ourselves that somebody else can help us with. And that doesn't mean that they're our enemy because they tell us the truth. That's what I always think about friendship. You're not my enemy because you tell me the truth.
So,
I may not like it that
correct.
much, but
So what's coming to mind when you were talking is consistency and obligation. So consistency, you can have a consistent relationship, friendship with somebody for a long period of time. And the consistency is how you move through life together. And if those are aligned, then the friendship is in alignment. Okay. The other is obligation. And I've come to realize that being a good friend is not just kind of a social thing. It's also an obligation of caring and being there when the other person is in need or what have you. And those, I believe, are really connected to one's health. It
Yes, and I think, the whole idea too is to be fully aware of what you want to give in a relationship and a friendship. You
Or
know what I mean? Because
the energy you have.
right. And because I think a lot of people say, like, well, you're my friend, so you need to do all of this for me. Whoa, wait a minute. I mean, I'm your friend. I'm not trying to be conditional, but I'm also trying to take care of my health as well, because if I do all of that for you, it's gonna mess me up and my relationships up. You know what I'm saying? So it's like
Correct.
we have to have those kind of things. But I want to ask Matthew a question though,
Yeah.
because Matthew is of a different generation than you and I, Stan. I'll talk about friendship in his generation. What's the expectation? What's the real expectation about friendship for people within your generation?
I think my generation has become a lot more transactional in some ways. And I think social media has kind of like helped facilitate that a little bit. And I say that in the sense of like, it's so easy to know so many people now. You follow each other on social media, you know, I see I'm their algorithm, their content that they're posting, what's going on in their life. It's easier to keep up with people. Though just because it's easier to keep up with people doesn't always mean it's easier to have a deeper connection with those people. So I would say I know a lot of people and I know what's going on in a lot of people's lives, but then the close connection when you traditionally think of friends, I would say I have less of. Or I have, you know, I have to put in the work the same way you would for other people. You know, you have those relationships. But I think acquaintances, I have so many other acquaintances, I guess, now that I know and kind of can follow along with people. So I think in that sense, there's an expectation. I also think something I've been seeing kind of going around and it kind of resonates with me. And I don't know if it resonates with others. I don't want to speak for my generation as a whole per se, but I think everyone wants to be, a part of a village, a part of a community, a part of connection, but it's becoming harder and harder and harder to be the villager and show up for the village and show up for your community and show up for your friends. And I don't think the expectations are changed. I just think lives have changed so much. I think now more than ever, we are stretched so thin. You know, you've got work that you're working harder than ever. You've got political turmoil, you've got everything going on in the world, and we know that like stress for my generation is an all-time high. Everyone is stretched so thin. And so when you add in those friendship expectations on top of that, I think it can just exacerbate situations sometimes and it becomes almost transactional. And so I think it can be a big challenge and a challenge that I think I've even had to overcome. And it's not that I don't love my friends, it's just I realizing that like not everyone is going to be my closest inner circle, and identifying like who is a colleague, who is an acquaintance, who do I want to be facilitate a relationship and have that inner connection with. And you know, as I enter adulthood, as I'm you know coming to adult, I'm realizing like relationships take a lot of work, friendships take a lot of work, and like you have to balance that with everything else in life, and so finding that balance can be tricky sometimes.
At some point we're gonna do a show on Health Chatter on should we just medicate? Remember I mentioned that to you, Clarence and Matthew, and we'll get to that. But I wonder if friend, and this is just kind of a rhetorical question, I wonder if friends are just a good medicine. Really, when you get down to it.
Well, you know what, Sam? Let me say that I was recently reading some information. I can't recall the actual source where they talked about men have less friends today than they did 10, 15 years ago.
I read that too, yeah.
Okay,
And they're
okay.
more
And
lonely.
then, and that's the whole thing is that, you know, in spite of the things that we're talking about having social media and stuff like that, people are lonely. I mean, you got, you know, and again, I'm just throwing this out, Matthew. I don't know. I'm not going to make an assumption. Like you said, you can't speak for everybody. But I think a lot of people have a lot of associates, but they're lonely. You know, they have a lot of associates, but you don't even know if they're telling you the truth. I mean, that's the whole thing is that, you know, people can get on social media and they can say, oh yeah, you know, life is so wonderful and you know everything is great. And then the next thing you know, you hear something very tragic happen to them and like, what? Wait a minute, I thought it was different. But I think that part of the idea about friendship and health is how do you find a healthy friend?
And
That's the
maintain them
question.
.
But how do you find a healthy friend that can help you also maintain or to regain your health as well. And again, this is not about using anybody, but this is about utilizing people that can help to take you to a different level, you know, and help you to understand better what your needs are. So,
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
So I gotta reflect on something for all of you. A week and a half or so ago, I was out east with my son and his family, and one evening we went out with a few of my son and daughter-in-law's friends, and it was really interesting. I was kind of second fiddle in the in that dinner. I was, but regardless, it was really interesting the conversation I was listening to, because they were all connected as friends through the fact that they had kids. And so the whole, frankly, much of the conversation for the evening was this activity that we're bringing our kid. Did you sign this kid up for karate? Did you sign him up for baseball? Did you sign him up? Are you going to the pool today? Are you going to, And it's just like this commonality of interests at that point. And it struck me of whether or not that can be maintained. Are they connected by virtue of their kids, or are they connected truly as friends, as you would really think? And how, and if so, how are they nurtured? How are, whether, how do you nurture it if you're dealing with it because of your kids, vis-a-vis how do you nurture it because of the, because you care about these people? So it's in that sense, it's kind of generational, I guess. The other thing, Matthew, that I wanted to relate to is, when Clarence and I were growing up, we didn't have all these technological connections, okay? And so consequently, I remember as a kid, friends meant that, you'd go out to the park and play baseball, or we'd go on a bike ride together, or we would just do hide and seek in the neighborhood, what I mean? Just like whatever it was. And now it's technologically connected, and I wonder, and I'm not making a judgment if it's wrong. I think it's different. I think it's different. And we'll see how it morphs going forward. But
I have a question.
yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I'll tell you, I didn't mean to cut you off, Sam, but I have a question. What happens when the internet is out? I mean, you know,
Yeah, right.
I'm friends. I mean, is I wonder if the internet was out for 3 weeks, I mean for 3 days, I'm wondering how people would respond to that. How people would find ways to stay connected, or how they would find ways to take care of themselves. I don't necessarily have to have an answer. I'm just sitting here. It just came on my mind, like, well, what happens if the internet goes out for 3 days? What are they going to do?
Yeah, or you lose your phone, or you break your phone. It's just
It's
like,
like,
oh my God, that means I have to go knock on my next door neighbor's door. Oh my
yeah,
God,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, so.
So, all right, I want another question I have is, what do you have to do to maintain a friendship or be a friend going forward? Matthew, what do you think? What do you need to do?
I think you have to show up. And I think that's the best way to put
Interesting.
it
Yeah,
in
wow,
the
yeah.
smallest terms. You have to show up. When your friends need you show up. When they need assistance, you help. And you show up. And
Right.
I think that I really resonate with this. I've been thinking about what it means to be a good friend a lot lately. And I think, especially nowadays, in a world where we're all pulled in a million different directions, the fact that you took time out of your day to show up for someone else speaks so loudly about, your relationship and what people mean to you. But I think that's just really important. I think oftentimes social media kind of projects this ideal or this perfection that doesn't actually exist in reality. And so I think sometimes my generation can fall into this trap of if it's not perfect, you don't do it, or you wait till the moment is perfect. Whereas I think maybe we need to move in a different direction of show up even when it's not perfect, show up even when you're tired, show up even when things are a little difficult, and help your community and help your friends and show up for each other.
I like that. I think that I like what you said, show up, but show up authentically, right?
Oh,
Because
yes,
when
100%.
that's the thing that really when you're off, people can tell. You know what I mean? You go in and you say, this is how I'm feeling, not as an excuse, but just as a way of explaining, you know, if you're not 100%. You know what I mean? And I think that part of what happened with people is that they feel like they got a smile and grin and all those kind of things. And I would not want that. I just want you to be who you are, you know. And that's why for me, people that tell me the truth, I like them. I mean, because I don't have to get, man, look, I have so much stuff on my head. I don't want to be guessing about you. I mean, if you don't like me, this, and I tell people this, if you don't like me, just tell me. I'll be cool with that. I mean, I may want to know what I did, maybe, but if there is no reason, because a lot of times people don't like you for no reason, that, I mean, just it's not even about you, it's about them, you know. But what you want in terms of relationships. Is you want authenticity. You want to be in a place where you don't feel that you have to pretend. I mean, and you know, when you start talking about health, that's one of those things is where you have to pretend something. Come on. You know, it's hard.
You mentioned earlier, Clarence, the idea of transparency. It's like when we first met, you thought I was, transparent and just, right out there, and you didn't have to go through a litany of thoughts in your head in order to get to who Stan is, because
I did check you out though, Stan.
you did.
I mean, yeah, no, I did check. I mean, I like what you're saying, but I'm like, I'm still betting though, buddy. Okay,
Oh
but
yeah, but it starts out
okay.
on a right note. It
Yeah,
started out on a right note. And then then you also judge, I think, or connect on levels of transparency as your relationship matures. Okay. Clarence could ask, is Stan still transparent? In the back of your head, you might be, you might think, is he still as transparent when we first met? Or have things changed? And if they've changed, why have they changed? Is it because Stan is retired now? Does that make it different? Well, yeah, it makes it different, but does that affect transparency?
And so
And
what Stan, here's the other thing though I want to say about friendship. And I had to learn this is that people that are your friends, you also have to watch how they treat their other friends. Okay? Because people will pretend with you. And then you'll find out something different about them and how they really, really treat their friends. And then you wonder, like, is that how you do that? For example, for me, I remember friendships where people would come to me and they would talk about their other friends. You know what I mean? And they would say things about their other friends. And I'm wondering, like, is that what you're going to do with me? You know what I'm saying? And so for me, like, I'm going to invest my relationship, my interest, my passion with you. When you're not true to what you call real friendship, you know what I mean? So I think health, I mean, in terms of talking about health, and I think it's a very good, a good, interesting topic, but in terms of talking about friendships and health, you really have to examine what you call a friend and really examine what do you really want from a friendship and what can you really, really provide and give in a friendship. And then, you know, ultimately, what outcomes are you expecting from a friendship? And I think that that's what we don't often do. We just like somebody. Oh, yeah, we just like you, and And no, that doesn't work. Anyway, I'm okay.
So, I don't know if you remember, Clarence, when we were growing up, there were cliques, or groups of friends. So, I thought I would just touch on this a little bit. So you can have individual friends, like one-on-one, and then you can have group-oriented friends, like you're part of a group that kind of melds together. And like when we were growing up, cliques, you had these kind of cliquey-oriented relationships with certain people. I personally have found, certainly as you get older, that it's just an assessment that I've made that individual-oriented friends, these more one-on-one types of friends, I believe relate more to your health than a group of friends or a clique of friends. A group or a clique of friends, it takes more energy, I think, whereas just a one-on-one, you can maybe relate better. Does that ring a bell with you guys?
I'm gonna let Matthew go because I've been talking a lot. Go ahead, Matthew.
I think so. I think you just get to have more intimate discussions or conversations or a more deeper connection, if you will, with on a one-on-one setting as opposed to group settings or cliques. So I would agree with that. And so I have a friend group now that a lot of us graduated from grad school together in public health or public health adjacent fields. So I would say in this group setting, I would say the opposite is true because we're always, all of us know so much knowledge about public health that we're all kind of like encouraging each other to, be healthy or check in on your status or things of that nature. But I would agree with that by and large. And I think in some other groups, friends that I have, I'm the health person that I'm the one encouraging folks to like, hey, you should go to the doctor, or you should check that out, or you should maybe not smoke as much. But I think so. I would agree with that, Stan.
And it's also we've also created groups of friends through these kinds of media like Zoom. Okay, groups. It's not very often, for instance, that I have a Zoom meeting just a one-on-one with somebody. If that's the case, sometimes I'll just call. It's like I know what Clarence looks like. I don't need to see him on a screen. You know what I mean? But I think things have kind of morphed a little bit. But I do relate to the idea that individual one-on-one friends seem to connect more with health than perhaps groups do. What do you think about that, Clarence?
Yeah, I do. I think that it's so funny. When I think about friendship, I think about the individuals as you just talked about, you have more intimate conversations. I think when I'm in a group, I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's not competition. It's just chatter. We have a whole bunch of chatter. You know what I mean? And sometimes the chatter that we have is not necessarily the healthiest. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
I know.
your friend, like, hey, and people go all off on all kind of tangents and things like that. So I just think that as we talk about this thing about friendship and you just want to be around, you really want to be involved with people that really do care about you, the individual, and the betterment. So yeah, the individual conversations to me are much more intimate and more and better.
Connected. So the other night I got together with with the same friends who I went with on Saturday for dinner, and I realized as a good friend of theirs that I needed to connect with them by asking this kind of question: how are your kids? How's your family? How's everything going for you? Okay,
Right.
so that the conversation doesn't focus on just me, but
Right.
it's a two-way thing, so that you show that you care
Right.
in both directions. Do you know what I
Yeah.
mean? Anyway, this has been I think a great conversation. And I hope that our listening audience has a time to reflect a little bit after you listen to a show like this on how special friends can be and how important they can be to your health overall. And I really do believe that friends are a good potion. They really are. If you have a cup and you want to drink something called friends, drink from that cup, because it'll help you through a lot of things. Last thoughts, Clarence?
I think that we kind of alluded to this or said this about, and I think Matthew was talking about the perfection of how would people perceive friendship is. It's going to be perfect. It's not perfect. It's a struggle. It's a struggle. You know what I mean? It's a struggle. I mean, anybody that says, "Oh, everybody's my friend," well, I question that really. But I do think that it's important to have friends. I think that in our disconnected world, even though we're connected by technology, and in our disconnected world in terms of relationships, it's important for you to figure out what it is that you really need from people, versus what everybody else says you need. And I think all of us are individuals, and we have certain needs that certain people can help to address. And so, don't assume just because somebody talks good that they're going to be a good friend.
Right,
Find
yeah.
somebody that you can really truly relate to. So that would be my
Yeah.
thought.
Matthew, last thoughts.
I think friends are incredibly important, and I've built a life surrounded by friends, and I'm really happy about that. And I hope as I continue to move on that through adulthood that I continue to develop those friendships and have those. And so I think when we relate it back to health, I think friends are critical to health, and especially as we go through health problems, or friends are part of our support system to help us get through those times. So I think they're incredibly important. And I hate to hear that people don't have as many friends nowadays, or this loneliness epidemic that's happening. I really hope we can do something about that.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah.
So as it relates to that lonely aspect, so I live alone. I have my dog, but I live alone. And I've realized that you need, especially if you live alone, you need to have who would you call types of friends in case there's an emergency or there's something that comes up. And I'll tell you, true friends, and I put the word true in quotes, true friends are somebody that you really can call in an
Yeah.
emergency, and they'll be there. They will be
Yeah.
there. So my last thought to everybody is nurture friendships. It's good for your health. So with
All
that,
right.
it's a great show. Thanks so much to Clarence and Matthew. Our next show for our listening audience will be on, ready for this, retirement and health. Oh my goodness, right? So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, everybody keep health chatting away.